Let us pray. Our holy and heavenly Father, how grateful we are that we can gather together in this house of prayer, that we can seek our joy in the beauty of thy worship. And Lord, it is a joy and a beauty to see when hearts come together, bound together in Jesus Christ, our Savior, whom we love and need, in surrender, in worship, in the beauty of holiness. And we pray, O Lord, that we would seek no other joy but thy presence and thy life and thy teachings that are recorded in thy word. And as we would pray for thy Holy Spirit's presence with us today, we pray that thou would lead and instruct us, and also that thy word would be given a place within our hearts, that we would live it, carry it out, and that thy word would be made known by the light that thou art offering to this world through thy church. We pray for thee to be honored and glorified in all of our thoughts, in our words, in our meditation and songs, for thou art worthy of all praise and glory. And we pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. With God's help, let us turn together to the Gospel of St. Luke and read from chapter number 17. Luke chapter 17.
Nađeno je da se čita uz Božju pomoć iz Svetog Evanđelja po Luki, 17. glava. Luka, 17. glava.
Then said he unto the disciples, It is impossible but that offenses will come. But woe unto him through whom they come. It were better for him that a millstone were hanged about his neck, and he cast into the sea, than that he should offend one of these little ones. Take heed to yourselves. If thy brother trespass against thee, rebuke him. And if he repent, forgive him. And if he trespass against thee 7 times in a day, and 7 times in a day turn again to thee, saying, I repent, thou shalt forgive him. And the apostles said unto the Lord, Increase our faith. And the Lord said, If ye had faith as a grain of mustard seed, ye might say unto this sycamine tree, Be thou plucked up by the root, and be thou planted in the sea, and it should obey you. But which of you, having a servant plowing or feeding cattle, will say unto him by and by, when he has come from the field, Go and sit down to meat, and will not rather say unto him, Make ready wherewith I may sup, and gird thyself, and serve me, till I have eaten and drunken, and afterward thou shalt eat and drink. Doth he thank that servant because he did the things that were commanded him? I trow not. So likewise ye, when ye shall have done all those things which are commanded you, say, We are unprofitable servants. We have done that which was our duty to do. And it came to pass, as he went to Jerusalem, that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. And as he entered into a certain village, there met him 10 men that were lepers, which stood afar off. And they lifted up their voices and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. And when he saw them, he said unto them, Go, show yourselves unto the priests. And it came to pass that as they went, they were cleansed. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back and with a loud voice glorified God and fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks. And he was a Samaritan. And Jesus answering said, "Were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? There are not found that returned to give glory to God, save the stranger." And he said unto him, "Arise, go thy way. Thy faith hath made thee whole." And when he was demanded of the Pharisees when the kingdom of God should come, he answered them and said, "The kingdom of God cometh not with observation. Neither say they, 'Lo here,' or 'Lo there,' for behold, the kingdom of God is within you." And he said unto the disciples, "The days will come when ye shall desire to see one of the days of the Son of Man, and ye shall not see it. And they shall say to you, 'See here,' or 'See there.' Go not after them, nor follow them. For as the lightning that lighteneth out of one part under heaven shineth unto the other part under heaven, so shall the Son of Man be in his day. But first must he suffer many things and be rejected of this generation. And as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be also in the days of the Son of Man. They did eat, they drank, they married wives, they were given in marriage, until the day that Noah entered into the ark. And the flood came and destroyed them all. Likewise also, as it was in the days of Lot, they did eat, they drank, they bought, they sold, they planted, they builded. But the same day that Lot went out of Sodom, it rained fire and brimstone from heaven and destroyed them all. Even thus shall it be in the day when the Son of Man is revealed. In that day, he which shall be upon the housetop and his stuff in the house, let him not come down to take it away. And he that is in the field, let him likewise not return back. Remember Lot's wife. Whosoever shall seek to save his life shall lose it. And whosoever shall lose his life shall preserve it. I tell you, in that night there shall be 2 men in one bed, and one shall be taken and the other left. 2 women shall be grinding together, the one shall be taken and the other left. 2 men shall be in the field, the one shall be taken and the other left. And they answered and said unto him, "Where, Lord?" And he said unto them, "Wheresoever the body is, thither will the eagles be gathered together." Read to the We've prayed that we recognize that we sit at the feet of the Lord for learning. And that is something that comes out in this chapter as Jesus is traveling with his disciples through Samaria and Galilee onto Jerusalem. He's interacting with people. He's interacting with the crowds. He's interacting with the scribes and the Pharisees. But often it tells us here that in his teaching, he turns his eyes and looks at his disciples. And he says something to them. And the way that Luke explains this and sets the picture for us, we can imagine Jesus Christ. And he's thronged with people in the multitudes. But there are these moments when he turns to the faces of his disciples. He looks them in the eye. And he has something to say to them. And that is what we are experiencing here today. The Lord is looking to you and to me. And he has something to teach you and me. Even as we prayed, he is looking at our hearts. When he looks at your face, and you see his eyes, and you hear his words, what is it that you see? Who are you listening to? Is your heart open to him? Ready to receive? Are you one of his disciples? Are you one of his pupils? One of the ones that learns from him and follows him? He has a word for you. He wants our hearts to be open and ready. And I'd like to begin just first with verse 20. When he takes the question from the Pharisees, when will the kingdom of God come? And he answered, the kingdom of God cometh not with observation, neither say they, lo here or lo there, for behold, the kingdom of God is within you. This first question that we look at is coming from those who are doubtful at best. They are skeptical and they are resistant to Jesus' teachings. And we have some among us who also are in this category. You're asking questions and yet you doubt. You resist the word of God, but you'd like to know, where is the kingdom of God going to be found? When is it going to come? There are things that you would like to know. And it is very hard. It is very hard for someone who is looking at the things of this world, who has one eye on the world and one eye on the word, to find anything. And Jesus speaks a word to help you. You don't need to look far. You look far and wide for something to give you joy and pleasure, something to satisfy the longings of your heart and sometimes the longings of your flesh. And you leave all those pursuits empty-handed. But the kingdom of God that Jesus came to preach, the kingdom of God that he is calling all mankind to become a part of, Jesus says, comes not with observation. It's not with long pursuits and journeys around the world or around the world wide web. We find the kingdom of God as declared by Jesus Christ in the scripture. And for those who in person asked this question, they had the word of God, Jesus Christ, right in front of them. They did not need to look far and wide for exactly what they needed. And this should give your heart some measure of comfort and teach you a little bit about the God that created you and has a plan for you, has a purpose for you, and has a mission for you to accomplish that you haven't quite found yet. And that is that he's not hiding. Jesus talks about the times of the end and describes the world and how they're going to approach it like it's some secret mystery that only a few know about. But you're here. You have the Word of God. And it's plain and simple. The Word is even close to you. It's even in your mouth, and you know how to say it, that if you believe in your heart and confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, you will be saved. Oh, but those last two words, that He is Lord, those are the hardest. That is the challenge. That's the crossroads that you're at. Who do you allow to be your King and Lord? Once you make that choice, once you are committed, and you taste of the grace of God that is able to draw you and to keep you, you will find that every burden is made easy and light. For He loves His creation. He is not hiding from you. And He wants you to find Him. Is your heart open to Him? And are you seeking Him with everything that you have? You will find Him. And you will find all that you need in Jesus Christ to help, to give you peace, to satisfy your soul's longing, and to change your life and put you on a path to fulfill the purpose that He has for you while you're here below, to give you the joy of the Lord. Don't look around to everyone who says, look at this. And there's lots of marketing, there's lots of advertisements that are seeking to draw our attention and our eyes, aren't there? Lo here, lo there. Behold, the kingdom of God is within you. In a very real and practical sense, Jesus Christ, who is declaring and bringing and initiating this kingdom of God among men through His teaching, was in their midst. They didn't need to look far. And in a spiritual sense, this kingdom of God was not the nation of Israel, or even the areas of dominion and control that we want to set up for ourselves, where we get our way, where our rules take precedence. That is, there's a kingdom that each of our hearts wants to set up until we surrender to the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And it often draws in the things of this world, because that's what everyone values around us. But Jesus is saying, no. The things that are highly valued by the world are not the precious possessions of the child of God and the citizen of the kingdom of heaven. So don't look there. Don't look in the world. The child of God, by contrast, is described here by Jesus. He says, the days will come. And now, so He turns and says to the disciples, now I'm looking at you, brother and sister. Jesus is saying to His disciples, the days will come when ye shall desire to see one of the days of the Son of Man, and ye shall not see it. We've talked about the longings of those who are not part of the kingdom of God. And now Jesus is saying what is normal and becoming and would be accompanying salvation of those who are part of the kingdom of God. And that is an affection and a desire to see the Lord's return, to realize and to experience God's kingdom and Christ's reign over all. That begins, we know, within our hearts. That's where we give Him full reign and control, that when He gives commands, that we carry them out as a willing servant. And it's God's plan to begin in the hearts of men and women who are surrendered unto Him, who take seriously the warnings and the commands of God's Son, whom He has sent, and hear Him. And He has a plan to continue that progression of bringing His control over the whole earth. But we see it's a plan in progress. And we, as God's children, we look around in the world and we see the pain and the hurt. We see the brokenness and the futility of this world that's seeking after something that will never satisfy. And we, that desire for God's rule and reign grows stronger. We become, if we allow that to go to its logical conclusion, we will become separate from this world because we can't go in the same direction. Paul is encouraging the Colossians to set your affections on things above, where Christ sits at the right hand of God. And John warns and gives us a test about our affections. He says that there's things in the world, and there's lots of options. There's the lust of the eyes. There's the lust of the flesh. And there's the pride of life. Many options and many avenues are provided in the way, in the wide way of the world, but there's only one way in the kingdom of God, and that is Jesus Christ. Jesus speaks to his disciples and says, this desire is going to be in you. You're going to have this longing for Christ's return. And we see that that was true for the disciples. That was true for the apostles. As they went forth after the resurrection and ascension of Jesus Christ, and they gave their lives, and they longed for the coming of the Son of Man. They longed for Jesus' return. That was their singular passion and desire. That was their goal, and their effort were expended towards that, towards God's kingdom. But they didn't see him return, except through faith. And so Jesus prepares us for a time of patience and perseverance. Because the desire is going to come that we want to be out. We want this world to be over. But Jesus says, you're not going to see it. To some disciples. Now, will Jesus return in our lifetime? God the Father knows. But are we called to occupy till he comes? And to take courage and hope and look at those promises that are sure. And not be distracted from the mission that Jesus has given us. You're going to have that desire. And may the Lord take this, I guess you might say, an assumption that Jesus brings about the children of God, that they do have this desire. And we can ask ourselves the question, is that desire burning within for the Lord's return? To see him. To perceive his presence, to have that closeness with him. That love will crowd out all of the other competition if we allow it. And the choice is ours. God gives us the ability to choose the direction that we go and where we place our hearts. And Jesus Christ and the Word repeatedly says, take heed to yourself. Now, Jesus goes on and continues to speak about this final time, the days of the Son of Man. And he compares it to the days of Noah and of Lot. And these descriptions really stood out to me because they're stories from the Old Testament that we know about. We know what happened in those stories, and we can picture it in our minds. We remember it from Sunday school. We remember it from our parents teaching us and showing us the Word of God. And Jesus is saying that his coming, his return, is going to be similar to those days. And so you can take the pattern of the stories from the Old Testament that are recorded that Jesus says and apply them. I say, this is what it's going to be like. And have you ever wondered what it would have been like to be on the ark? Have you ever wondered what it would be like to be running from Sodom with Lot's family? Is that the part of the story that you're in? Because the story has lots of different characters, and each of them has a destination. And there are some that were left out of the boat. There were some that were left in Sodom. Their affection was here on this earth. And we see what kind of life they were living. It says that they ate, they drank, they married, they were given in marriage, they did business. Life was normal. Everything was fine. Everything was going just how it always goes. Everybody was busy about the things of this world. And that's what Jesus uses to describe those who will suffer the punishment and damnation at the end of this age. And that's a scary thought, because that's convicting. Because we get wrapped up in the busyness of this life. We get complacent. We think, oh, just things are just kind of going on, and we just come back to church again, and we'll go to back to work, and we live another week, and it's just kind of going on. And why? That's the pattern of judgment. Jesus is calling us to be part of his kingdom and to be saved from a life of busyness and preoccupation with the things of this world. To be complacent, to say, well, somebody else will do the service. Somebody else will serve a little bit more. Maybe somebody else can do the lifting. I'll just go and I'll get my money, and I'll go home and I'll eat and I'll drink and I'll do the same things over and over again. An aimless existence. But the world says this is it. When you can enjoy, when you can consume. Jesus was not a consumer of this world. He gave life. And he's calling us to be life givers, to be ones who share, ones who are touched by the needs of others, and not characterized by we're too busy to stop this crazy treadmill of the love of the world. And so we're called to take notice. And just like the analogy is given of the frog in the water, if you put it in normal water and you slowly heat it up, it never notices what's going on. That can happen to us when we're exposed to the world. Gradually, subtly, the values of the world and the things that characterize the world, and even as Jesus Christ is characterizing the world here, what part am I playing? We know the ending of the story of Noah. We know what happened to Lot and his family. And Jesus says, remember Lot's wife, who was so close to escaping. At least it appeared that way. And Jesus says, don't make appearances. Don't make it look like you're a Christian. Don't make it look like you're following him. But surrender your heart and give your all. Give him everything. Don't hold anything back. He is not holding back anything that's useful and necessary for us. He's given us his son. He will give us everything that we need. Believe, have faith that the Lord will take care of his own. Even though this world does not give any comforts in that respect, we hold to the word of God despite what we see with our eyes. Remember Lot's wife. Keep this in mind. Keep this in mind that she was walking with Lot and the daughters. She was out of the city. But her heart was drawn back. Jesus turns to his disciples and he looks you and me in the eye. And this is what he had to say. May God bless his word. Amen.